forgiveness with what we carry with us. Our hearts are the witness. Can we find forgiveness? On Satan's door. Can we find forgiveness with what we carry with us? Our hearts are the witness. Can we find forgiveness? Someone else's eye. What if others we've transgressed might not be so kind? And with a final breath, there's nothing to decide. Can we find forgiveness with what we can with us? Our hearts are the witness. Can we find forgiveness?
On September 27th, 1998, Philip Ozersky went to a baseball game and saw his life changed forever. With one swing of the bat and in two twinklings of the eye, he caught not just a baseball, but a gold mine. Now, a lot of fans have caught home runs, but this was no ordinary home run. A lot of batters have hit home runs, but this was no ordinary batter. On that day, Mark McGwire came to the plate and hit his record-breaking 70th home run. My, oh my. The ball was launched over Ozersky's head, hit a wall, bounced into his lap. Before you could say, "I'm rich," this 26-year-old research scientist became an instant millionaire. For, you see, on January 13th, 1999, an anonymous bidder paid a record, get this now, $2.7 million for this ball. Almost 22 times the previous record. Now, just imagine that you have discovered a CD with God's actual voice. Assume that it could be authenticated, that it was indeed the voice of God, not only proving He exists, but also proving He has spoken. Now, if a baseball is worth almost $3 million, what would that CD be worth? Well, there's no CD, but actually, God has spoken louder than that. Psalm 19, which C.S. Lewis once called, quote, "the greatest poem in the Psalms and one of the greatest lyrics in the world." He tells us that God has spoken where all can hear, and God has shined or shown Himself where all can see. My, my, my. In your Bible, Psalm 19, you'll find where God has done this. You find the Psalms in the very middle of your Bible, about halfway through the book. This Psalm 19 tells us and deals with God's revelation. The word revelation comes from the Latin prefix re, which means to take away, and the word velum, which means veil. So a revelation involves a veil taken away so the person can see what lies behind it. Here's the point. God has revealed himself in at least four ways so that we can know that he is and know who he is. Here's the first thing I want you to see this morning in our continuing series, The God That You Can Know. I want to talk to you about My God is Glorious and Good. Number one, in the skies, God has revealed his greatness. Now, if a person wants to see God, he doesn't have to look very far. All he has to do is look up. That's right, just look up. You know, the word for man in the Greek language is the word anthropos, which literally means the one who looks up. There's never been a human being on earth that hasn't looked up into the night and just gazed at the stars. That is exactly what God intended for us to do. A dog looks down. A cow looks down. A horse looks down. But we were created to look up and to see the greatness of God. On a beautiful starlit night, Napoleon and some of his officers were on a ship. Now, some of them began to brag about their disbelief in the existence of God, and after listening quietly for a while, Napoleon spoke up as he pointed to the star-speckled sky, and he said, "Gentlemen, one question. Who made all of that?" Pretty good question. These first several verses in Psalm 19 speaks of two aspects of the universe that clues us in immediately to the existence of God. Verse 1 speaks of the immensity of creation. It is immense. The word firmament literally means the expanse of heaven. Now just think about the incredible size of the universe. A professor in an astronomy class once asked this question. Suppose that we have a scale where an inch equals a million miles. How far would it be to the nearest star apart from our sun? Would it be 100 feet? 300 feet, 500 feet. The students began to calculate frantically. 12 inches makes a foot. 1 foot means 12 million miles. 100 feet would be over a billion miles. 300 feet over 3 billion miles. 500 feet over 5 billion miles. Well, this went on for some time. Some students guessed 300, some guessed 500. The professor said, "You're all wrong." He then went on to say that the nearest star at that scale would be approximately the distance from Pittsburgh to Chicago, with each inch equaling a million miles. Now, to put it another way, light travels at the rate of 186,000 miles per second. In 1 second, light can travel 7.5 times around the earth. The light that you are seeing now, or seeing tonight, the light that you see twinkling at night from the nearest star left that star on its way to Earth, now get this, 4.5 years ago. Wow, we're in deep water here, folks. Our galaxy contains 100 billion suns, and our universe holds more than 100 billion galaxies. The distance from one edge of an average galaxy to the other is approximately, we're told, 600,000 trillion miles. The average distance from one galaxy to another galaxy is 20 million trillion miles. Now remember, the speed of light, a light year is approximately 6 trillion miles. And the size of an average galaxy is 100,000 light years. It shouldn't surprise you that 90% of all astronomers believe in God. One of the highest ratios of any profession in all of the world. Did I mention the water was deep? But there is something else about the creation that tells us of our Creator. Of a Creator, the complexity of the universe. The complexity, not only the immensity of it, but the complexity of the very creation. Verse 2, for instance, says, "Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge." Psalm 19, verse 2. The Hebrew verb, for utters literally means gushing out. In other words, this creation is furiously pouring out evidence for the power and the reality of God. Until late in this century, the universe was measureless, 20th century. Late in the 20th century, until then, the universe was measureless. No one really knew. But we've now been able to see and measure many of the limits and characteristics of the universe. Astronomers have discovered what they call the anthropic principle. Now, the anthropic principle, the maximum that the universe has been built for humanity. Astronomers and scientists have discovered 25 different characteristics of the universe as precisely fixed. If any of these were different by only slight amounts, just a little, life as we know it could not exist on planet Earth. To this list of the 25 have been added 38 characteristics of our galaxy and solar system that likewise must fall within narrowly defined ranges if humanity is to survive. The water's getting deep. Consider this. The moon is approximately 240,000 miles away from Earth. The sun is about 93 million miles away from Earth. Scientists now know that if either one of these astronomical bodies was 100 miles closer or further away from Earth, life on this planet would not be possible. 40 miles above the Earth, there's a thin layer of air called, you remember this from your days in high school or college, the ozone layer. If you compressed it, it would be only a quarter of an inch thick. And yet without it, life just simply couldn't exist. 8 kilorays fall, look that word up sometime, 8 kilorays fall upon planet Earth continuously from the sun. And without the ozone, we would be burned, blinded, and broiled in just a day or two. Thank God for the ozone. Amen. The ultraviolet rays come in two forms. Longer rays, which are deadly and are screened out, and shorter rays, which are necessary for life on Earth, and are emitted by this ozone layer. In fact, it is so finely tuned that the ozone layer allows the most deadly of these rays to get through in just a very thin amount. Now, why? Well, just enough to kill green algae, which otherwise would grow to fill all the lakes, rivers, and oceans of the world. Then we have the wonder of water. My, oh my. Nowhere else in the universe do you find water in any abundance except here on planet Earth. I know reports recently talked about finding something that resembles water on Mars. And maybe so, but no conclusive evidence. Amazingly, this solvent, this thing called water, we call water, dissolves almost everything on Earth except those things which sustain life. As ice, it breaks up rocks and produces soil. As snow, it stores up water in the valleys. As rain, it waters and cleanses the earth. As vapor, it provides moisture for the fertile land. It exists as cloud cover in just the right amount. Without any clouds, you know, we would die. The next time you're complaining about the clouds, oh, it's so cloudy, just remember, they're saving your life. Without any clouds, we're goners. But you know what? We have exactly 50% of the surface of the earth covered by clouds at any one time, which allows just the right amount of sunlight to come through. The earth is tilted at an angle of 23 degrees, which gives us our seasons. If it had not been so tilted, 23 degrees, vapors from the ocean would move north and south, piling up continents of ice, killing human life as we know it. Water is so deep. If the crust of the earth had it been only 10 feet thicker, there would be no oxygen without which all human and animal life would die. If the ocean had been a few feet deeper, carbon dioxide and oxygen would have been absorbed and no vegetable life could exist. The Earth spins at 1,000 miles per hour on its axis, while orbiting the Sun at 60,700 miles per hour. Just a 2 mile per hour difference would prevent life on this place we call home, this planet Earth. The next time you go to the beach and look at the tide coming in and going out, you better think about God and just go ahead and thank Him. Because of the moon at its exact distance, tides come and go. Because of the tides, continuous waves break upon the shores of the ocean, aerating the oceans of this planet, providing oxygen for the plankton. Plankton, oh yeah, I remember studying about that. Plankton, which is the very foundation of the food chain of our world. Without the plankton, you see, there would be no oxygen, and without oxygen, man couldn't live. God has made the moon the right size, placed it in the right at the right distance, so the tides would come in and out on time and clean up the oceans and shores of our continents. The former president of the New York Academy of Sciences, Dr. Cressy Morrison, once gave this illustration. He said, suppose I would take 10 pennies and mark them 1 to 10 and give them to you to put in your pocket. I ask you to give them a good shake and then say, I'm going to reach into your pocket and draw out a penny, draw out penny number 1. My chance of doing this would be 1 in 10. Now let's go further. I put a number 1 back in your pocket, have you shake them again, and I say, I will now draw out number 2. Now my chances are much slimmer, 1 in 100. If I were to draw out number 3 in the same way, the chance would be 1 in 1,000. If I draw out each number in successive order, following the same process, he continues, the ultimate chance factor would reach the unbelievable figure of 1 in 10 billion. Dr. Morrison went on to say, quote, if I performed that act before your eyes, you would probably say the game is fixed. And you would be correct. And that is exactly what I'm saying about the galaxies and life on planet Earth. This arrangement is fixed. There is a designer, God, and He is not silent. All of this explains why David went on to say in Psalm 19, verses 3 and 4, there is no speech nor knowledge where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for the sun. Folks, listen. Regardless of your location, if you look up, you can see God. Regardless of your language, if you will listen up, you can hear God. You see, Mother Nature is really Father Preacher telling us of the reality of God. Every mountain is God's power piled up. Every river is God's power in motion. Every star is God's power in crystal. Every flower is God's power in blossom. Every ocean is God's power in fullness. My, 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 my. The heavens declare the glory of God. Number 2, in the scripture, God has revealed His grace. We can look up unto the heavens. And every time you do, you're really seeing the power of God. But only when we take a Bible and look into our hands can we really see the person of God. 6 times in verses 7 through 9, the phrase of the Lord is used to describe the Bible. Now, this phrase tells us what the Bible is. It is the word of the Lord. God has spoken naturally in the skies, but He has spoken verbally in the scriptures. The first thing we're told is Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord. Now, the word law is the Hebrew word Torah, which means instruction. All that we need to know for our creed, that's what we believe, and our character, that's what we are, who we are, and our conduct, that's what we do, is found in the Bible. It is the testimony of the Lord, verse 7. The Bible says exactly what God has to say, and completely all God has to say. It is the statutes of the Lord, verse 8. In the Bible, we find God's standards of what is morally right and morally wrong in His eyes. It is the commandment of the Lord. Again, verse 8, the Bible tells us what we ought to do and what we ought not to do. It is the fear of the Lord. That's verse 9. The Bible tells us how to be right and act right before the God who is right. It is called the judgments of the Lord in verse 9. You see, the final verdict on what is right and what is wrong, who is right and who is wrong, well, it's found in this book we know as the Bible. Then we're told why the Bible is valuable. First of all, it is perfect. That's verse 7. The only infallible, inerrant, inspired book in the world is this one that has been written by Almighty God. It is also sure, verse 7. In this book you will find no equivocation, no double speak, no footnotes, no amendments. It speaks only the truth. It is, verse 8 says, right. In this book there are no mistakes, no misstatements. It's never wrong. But it's also, verse 8 says, pure. The Bible is true, and the Bible is truth without any mixture of error. It is, verse 9, clean. The Bible can be read in prime time by all eyes. It's rated G. It is good. It is great. It is godly. Then it is true and righteous altogether, verse 9. Just like its author, the one who wrote it, who is true and righteous altogether. Then finally, we are told how the Bible works. It evangelizes, converting the soul, verse 7. It is the only book in the world that not only informs, but transforms. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It educates, making wise the simple, verse 7. Other books give knowledge, the Bible gives wisdom. It encourages, rejoicing the heart, that's verse 8. In this book you will find joy in your sorrow, happiness for your sadness, light for your darkness, strength for your weakness. It enlightens, verse 8 tells us, that enlightening the eyes is what the Bible does. This book will show you truth and give you treasure you can't find anywhere else in all the world. It is enduring, verse 9 says, forever. This book is God's rock that cannot be broken, God's word that cannot be silenced, God's fire that cannot be quenched, God's light that cannot be extinguished. I don't know who wrote these words, but they really sum up pretty well what the psalmist is talking about when he talks about the Bible. Listen, the Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its decisions are immutable. Read it to believe. Believe it to be saved. Practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's guide, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's word, sword, the Christian's character. Here paradise is restored, heaven opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, our good, its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, daily, prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It is given you in life, will be opened at the judgment, and will be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, will reward the greatest labor, and condemns all who trifle with its contents. Isn't that good? Amen. Hallelujah. That's the Word of God. Here's the third thing I want you to see today. In the soul, God has revealed its goodness. David looked into the heavens and saw the greatness of God. He took a Bible, looked into his hands, and saw the grace of God. But now he looks into his heart and finds the goodness of God. Verses 12 and 13. Who can understand his arrows? Psalm 19, verse 12 and 13. Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. You know, there are certain things we are born knowing are wrong. No one has to tell us that murder is wrong, stealing is wrong, lying is wrong. But how do we know these things? Folks, we know them because God has placed in all of us the law of morality and the sting of conscience. Conscience is God's moral alarm clock. which he has placed inside of every human being. It goes off in our hearts, not simply when we do wrong, but when we know down deep we have sinned against God who made us. A courtroom can convict you of crime, but only God can convict you of sin. You cannot get right with God until you know that you're wrong with God. And you won't know that you're wrong with God unless God reveals it to you. That's why Jesus said the Holy Spirit came to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. John 16 in verse 8. How good God is to give us pain to let us know our body needs to be healed. And how good God is to give us a conscience and the convicting power of the Holy Ghost to let us know that our soul needs to be saved. Fourthly and finally today, in the Savior, God has revealed his glory. He says in verse 14 of Psalm 19, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." Folks, it's no coincidence that the last verse of this psalm refers to the Lord and the Redeemer. That is exactly who Jesus is. He is our Lord and our Redeemer. You see, Jesus is the ultimate and the greatest revelation of God. Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2 tell us, God, who at various times and in different ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. He saved his best word for last, and he sent the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14, verse 9, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." Josh McDowell rightly said, if Jesus Christ was not God, he deserved an Academy Award. In the Lord Jesus, we discover all of God we can know. In the Lord Jesus, we have all of God we need. Yes, in the skies we see God's greatness. In the scriptures we see God's grace. In the soul we see God's goodness. But in the Savior, we see God's glory. One of the greatest testimonies you'll ever hear is that of astronaut Jim Irwin, who talked about an experience he had when he went to the moon. He said, "When I looked out and saw the earth only as big as a little marble, I thought, how big am I? I'm just a speck of dust. If that big compared to the universe, and yet this little speck has the capacity to know God, to know the one who holds the universe, to know his love, and have his direction. For the first time," Irwin says, I felt God's love for the earth. I realized then that God loved that little blue marble, that little planet. He loved all the billions of people on it, and he loved me. I realized at that moment that my relationship with Jesus Christ was the most precious thing I had. Folks, listen to me. There is a God in the heavens who created the heavens, and because of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the God we can see above us, and the God we can see around us is the God we can have within us. He would want me to remind you of that today. Until next Lord's Day, remember, keep looking to Jesus.